Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you. I am John Cruz. I'm with Koch Agronomic Services. And Koch Agronomic Services is a manufacturer of enhanced efficiency fertilizers that include both urease and nitrification inhibitors. In particular, for this discussion, we manufacture products that include dicyandiamide, or diamide, or DCD, nitrification inhibitor. The purpose of my talk is a little bit different than perhaps the standard discussion of a single trial that is discussed in detail. Rather, this is more of a brief subset survey of several different trials. There's a little bit of a method to my madness here of trying to discuss several different trials, and that is to make a point that we sometimes have to make, particularly in the commercial world, when we're discussing the value of enhanced efficiency fertilizer technologies, particularly with growers and the suppliers, the fertilizer suppliers that sell to the growers. And I think when we reach to the end, that will be a bit more clear. We'll just take a minute to discuss the mode of action for DCD, and then we'll just do a very brief survey discussion of the four different trials. One was located in Oregon, one was located in Spain, one in Nebraska, one in Louisiana. Often when we're discussing the use of a nitrification inhibitor, we tend to oversimplify. I know I'm particularly guilty of that when discussing this with different grower groups and what have you. We just tend to say, well, the ammonium is converting to nitrite and then nitrate, and it's nitrosomonas and nitrobacter, and then we sort of move on. We do tend to forget that there are, first of all, are other bacterial species involved, Nitrosalobus, Nitrospira, some other bacterial species involved. It's not just Nitrosomonas, but I think more in particular we tend to gloss over the fact that this is a redox reaction that is catalyzed by a couple of particularly ammonia monooxygenase, and then the hydroxylamine oxidoreductase. What we're trying to focus on here is that the inhibitor actually inhibits ammonia monooxygenase. And this is a redox reaction. If you can, with an effective nitrification inhibitor, slow down the conversion of ammonium, which is in equilibrium with ammonia in the soil, depending on the solution pH, if you can reduce the ammonia to the hydroxylamine, then you're going to reduce the effectiveness or the rapidity at which ammonium converts to nitrite. And so the effect is, over time, you're building a pool of ammonium. And so for most non-tropical soils that have net negative charge, if you can maintain nitrogen in a positive charge, then you're going to reduce its potential for leaching, particularly because as you reduce your nitrite pool, you're reducing your nitrate pool, and that reduces the potential for both denitrification and leaching. So the enzyme, ammonia monooxygenase, is actually here. It's a computer-generated model. It's a very large protein, of course. It tends to have three active sites. And in particular, we understand that DCD, or dicyandiamide, actually affects the active sites. And so a couple of things about DCD. First of all, you'll notice that from a molecular weight point of view, it's very small. And so it actually has the ability to fit and interfere within those active sites of the enzyme. And then its history is a little bit unique. Its past use was primarily a fertilizer, but it was understood for a very long time to have nitrification inhibition properties. One thing about this particular inhibitor is that it is bacteriostatic and not bactericidal. And because of the fact that it was used primarily as a fertilizer and that it did not have bactericidal properties, when FIFRA was created, DCD was statutorily exempt. And then, of course, AFCO defines DCD as a nitrification inhibitor. So beginning with some of the talks or some of the trials that were run over the past several years, one in particular was conducted in Oregon in the Willamette Valley, very high rainfall situations, and the nitrogen was applied at 180 pounds of nitrogen per acre. And then nitrate nitrogen was measured in the soil by taking soil samples at depth. And then these are the accumulative nitrate nitrogen at over time. This need to tell you that this is actually in sweet corn and not in field corn. And you're looking at nitrate nitrogen at soil depth from several different nitrogen sources. In particular, I call your attention to SuperU, which is one of the technologies that Koch makes. It contains both a urease inhibitor and a nitrification inhibitor. The nitrification inhibitor, of course, DCD. And if you'll contrast that with urea, you'll see that in the early stages of growth, when the root systems are very immature and the nitrogen is not being taken up as rapidly, that the amount of nitrate nitrogen is significantly lower for SuperU than it was compared to urea. Now, by the time you get to V5, which is roughly 4 weeks later, you see those differences have gone away. But from an agronomic timing point of view, you have protected some nitrogen from converting to nitrate during that vulnerable window. Now, from a yield point of view, the fact that you protected nitrogen from converting to nitrate didn't necessarily translate into yield increases or decreases. So at 95% confidence interval, you'll see that the applications that were made, single applications, urea, we have the coated technology ESN, you have SuperU, and then another coated technology called Duration, those yields were not significantly different from the urea single application. There was an application where urea was applied in a split, and that resulted in higher yields. But regardless of the nitrogen rate, you can see that yields were not significantly affected. There was an interesting study conducted in Spain in a Mediterranean climate by Diaz et al. And what they did was, this was a field corn study, and they applied nitrogen at a single rate. First, in 2006, they applied it at the equivalent of 220 kilograms of N per hectare. They followed that in 2007 after checking mineral nitrogen levels in the soil. They reduced that level to 180 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And then they basically modeled using an equation how much water actually passed through the soil. So this is a silt loam, and it's an irrigated soil. The soil actually increases in coarseness as you go down to a depth of 4 meters. They actually checked nitrogen levels using suction lysimeters at the 1.4 meter level. And what you'll see is that when they modeled out rainfall plus irrigation and then subtracted evapotranspiration, and then using time domain reflectometry to estimate how much water was actually in the soil profile, you see that in 2006 there was far less cumulative water drainage through the soil profile compared to how much drained in 2007. And that actually resulted in less nitrate accumulating at that 1.4 meter level. So you'll see in 2006 very low overall levels of nitrate. But even after reducing the nitrogen application to 180 kilograms of N per hectare, you can see that overall nitrate increased in the soil profile in 2007. I think what's interesting to point out is that the two nitrification inhibitors in here, DCD, of course, and DMPP being another, was roughly 30% less compared to the standard reference fertilizer, in this case, was ammonium sulfate nitrate. And then even with a split application, nitrate content actually increased. But again, when you look at yields, what you'll see is that if you focus particularly on the DCD-treated fertilizer compared to the straight or untreated ammonium sulfate nitrate, both in 2006 and in 2007, you'll see that those yields are extremely comparable, not only statistically but numerically. And so, again, the fact that nitrate levels were reduced did not necessarily automatically mean an increase in yield. This next study was conducted by Richard Ferguson in Nebraska. He had several different treatments in this. He had ammonia, he had the coated fertilizer ESN, and he had a UAN, both untreated, and then UAN treated with a product that Koch manufactures called Agritane Plus, which is an amendment for UAN that, again, contains both a urease inhibitor and a nitrification inhibitor. He applied it at several different nitrogen rates, but it was interesting at what Dr. Ferguson considered to be the optimal nitrogen rate for this particular study at 175 pounds of nitrogen per acre, that the chlorophyll content, if you use that as a proxy for nitrogen assimilation, it tended to peak more quickly with untreated UAN compared to the UAN that was treated with the inhibitor, and that there was actually higher chlorophyll content later in the season at this nitrogen rate. Now, if you notice in rainfall, he observed that, and this was a surface broadcast application of UAN, there were conditions for urea volatilization, so that may have been part of this story. But certainly you can see that 3 weeks after application, you can see that there were three significant rainfall events that could have contributed to leaching. When you look at the yields compared to nitrogen levels, nitrogen source was significant. The overall trend for yields here in this particular study was pretty clear that ammonia and the polymer-coated fertilizer trended for higher yields. But I draw your attention to the green and the blue bars at the three different nitrogen rates. So similar yields at the lowest nitrogen rate. As you increase in nitrogen, the UAN that was treated with the inhibitors increased in yield more quickly or with less nitrogen. It took the untreated UAN, had to go all the way up to 225 to reach an equivalent yield. However, at 225, at the highest rate, you actually see nitrogen or yields come down slightly from the 175 rate for the treated UAN. And one of the situations that was encountered here was the fact that that you had a storm come through in August and there was some lodging, so that could have had a confounding effect. Very quickly, in Louisiana, there was a study that you had several different nitrogen sources. I would just simply draw your attention for the sake of time. If you look at the urea yields versus the yields containing Super U, you'll see that there were significant increases in yield, not only on a clay loam soil, but then also on a silt loam, both grain yield and nitrogen use efficiency. Now, what obviously potentially confounds this particular study is the fact that you had a couple of products in there that were just urease inhibitors, and there was one, the nitropyrin, that was just a nitrification inhibitor. Both of those seem to have had an effect on overall yields. When you put those together with a product like Super U that has both a urease and a nitrification inhibitor, yields were highest in both locations. So again, here this is the silt loam soil. You can see the trend again was the same. Significantly higher yields for Super U compared to untreated urea, and yet both the urease and nitrification inhibitors by themselves were contributing to that. Same with nitrogen use efficiency. So just in summary, The data, not just from these trials, but from other trials, shows that DCD is an effective nitrification inhibitor. But the point that I was leading up to is that what value it brings may not always translate into yield, particularly with the environmental causes of nitrification. You're getting episodic rainfall events, and those may or may not occur at the right time or in the right intensity to actually cause leaching or denitrification. But certainly with the increased societal awareness and the impact of fertilizer, we need to have these tools available for growers to protect their yield potential, certainly, but also to help reduce the environmental impact. And with that, I will stop and entertain any questions if there's time.
So, yeah, very good comparison. So I have one question. So did you compare the prices of all those? Because the Super U and the Nitrop Iron and the DCD are that. So.
No, I mean, that is certainly that's something that could be done, can be done, but... for this exercise, I did not compare the costs. Typically, what you'll find is that there is an incremental increase in cost when you're applying a single inhibitor. So, for instance, just the urease inhibitor or just the nitrification inhibitor. And there is an additive effect when you have a product like SuperU where you're putting both inhibitors in there. So you do have to account for that. There's no question that it's more expensive, and so that's why growers want to have that automatic assurance almost that it's going to pay off every year, every time, whereas we would tend to take a longer-term approach to say that in over a period of years, if you're protecting that yield potential by limiting your nitrogen losses, that it's going to pay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.